Blog Talk Radio.
Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast, but here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. We'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. As always, we rejoice in what Jesus Christ has done for us at the cross. Had he not gone to that cross and died for our sins, man to this very day would still remain estranged from God. But I think about John 3:16, which we hear quoted so often, but yet seemingly quoted without any real fervency or appreciation. But God so loved the world, or for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. For God so loved the world. He loved us so much, though we were absolutely estranged from him, had no way to him, he still sent his Son to redeem us from our sins. I think about the scripture in Romans 5 and 8. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Think of that statement. While we were yet sinners, while everyone listening to this program was yet a sinner, God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, sinners. Listen to what verse 7 says, Romans 5 and 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, or for a good man, some would even dare to die. My. I want to share that verse again. Romans 5, verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. We weren't, any of us, good men or women. And we certainly were not righteous. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We oftentimes fail to realize and appreciate what Jesus did for us at the cross. My, what he did for us at the cross. To think he looked into that bitter cup, said, Father, if at all possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless not my will but thine be done. And he, being a righteous man, died for all sinners. I want to quote that again, Romans 5, 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you grasp that statement? My, there may be a few men in this world that would give their life for a good man that has given much, let's say, to society. But us, vile, wretched sinners. Jesus, the most righteous man that ever walked in shoe leather, died for us. I believe we need a greater appreciation and a greater thanksgiving for what Jesus did for all of us. Before I go into the Holy Writ today, I want to play a beautiful song simply entitled, I Bless His Name. And I pray today, my friend, that you too bless the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God.
In prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes, all in silence prayed that night, and in their pain began. Their chains were loosed, and they were free. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you
His name today. I trust and pray that you do bless that wonderful, wonderful name of Jesus Christ. David declared in Psalms 68:19, blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. How he daily loads us with daily bread, daily sustenance. While he woke you up this morning, you can see, you can hear, you can taste, you can touch, you can smell. You have your faculties. Oh, like me, your body may be aging. Sometimes we feel another pain here, another pain there, but God has blessed us. Thus we ought to bless his name. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Not only does he bless us, he has redeemed us. And yet, we take redemption with such a casual approach. Yes, we do. We take redemption with such a casual approach. What a blessing to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I want to go today to Matthew chapter 22. I want to talk to you about the simplicity of living right. The simplicity of living right. Matthew 22, beginning at verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The simplicity of living right. Needless to say, Satan would have the child of God believe, being a dedicated, consecrated, separated child of God to Christ our Lord, is the most arduous and difficult thing for the believer that could possibly be in one's life. I learned a long time ago, when you simply fall in love with Jesus Christ, that makes serving Christ a whole lot more easier. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were Jesus' two greatest religious foes and enemies. In our scripture text, the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had put the Sadducees to silence. Sad, you see. We say that because they did not believe in the resurrection, so they were sad, you see. They didn't believe in the resurrection of the souls of men. Thus, in the previous verses of this chapter, the Bible said, on the same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, the third, unto the seventh, and last of all, the woman died also. Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry, nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, Have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. So now the Pharisees have witnessed that Jesus put the Sadducees to silence by the profoundness of his exegesis in the resurrection. You see, they're always trying to snare Christ, but he was always able to overcome them because he, in this situation, too, was the Word of God and the resurrection and the life. So now, having silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees attack Christ. One of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, you see, this Pharisee was just that, a Pharisee, bigoted, self-righteous. And when the Bible says that he asked Jesus a question tempting him, the word tempting there in the Greek means to make him evil. The Pharisee was trying to make Jesus Christ evil by his question and by Christ's answer. And he was trying to draw Jesus into a place of contention, a place of strife. But Jesus answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is what makes serving Jesus Christ simple from my perspective. God forbid that I would try to ameliorate, lessen, or mitigate trials and temptation and suffering in the life of a child of God. But Job suffered profusely. Yet in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. You see, the simplicity in Job's life was simply to serve the Lord in spite of his opposition. Even his own wife became derelict as his spouse and said, why don't you just curse God and die? Do you maintain your integrity through all of this? I'm talking about the simplicity of living right. You see, when I look at the patriarchs of faith, I look at these men who were truly discipled, disciplined, and they would not waver in spite of the enemy. Naboth, when King Ahab sought his vineyard, he said, my vineyard is not for sale. It is mine inheritance. Thus I cannot sell it. The simplicity of Naboth would beg description. You see, these great men and women of God, they had their faith anchored in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and thus in times of adversity, they did not waver, they did not capitulate, they did not give in, they neither gave up. But they endured unto the very end. This lawyer, he was a lawyer relative to the Mosaic law. In modern terminology, he would be deemed a legalist. A legalist. The Greek says he is a person who is learned in the law or legal practice, a lawyer. It always appears with the Pharisees and also with the scribes. You see, these were lawyers, or they were specialists in the law. They were always trying to snare Jesus Christ through their questions. Most theologians believe that these lawyers were all members of the Sanhedrin, because the Sanhedrin was profusely learned and taught in the Mosaic Law. But Jesus didn't come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill the law. Once he died on the cross, and the law was fulfilled in its totality, then we were free from the law of sin and of death. Jesus reduced, like you would fractions, all the way from 10 to 2 commandments. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. In other words, the triune part of man. Every part of man is to love God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind, or might, strength, physically. Jesus said, this is the first and this is the great commandment. What? Loving Jesus Christ with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then Jesus capsulized the entirety of the Mosaic Law. He said, this is the first and the great commandment. The great commandment is loving God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. I'm preaching on the simplicity of living right. People make serving Christ arduous and difficult, just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Ethiopian eunuch was reading the Holy Scriptures and began to understand, I can be saved. I can be saved. I can be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But like many in the church world today, they make serving Christ arduous and difficult. Let me just share with you from Acts chapter 8, the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Acts chapter 8, verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure. This man was a eunuch. He had great authority and was in charge of all of her money of that kingdom that she was queen over, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. I am assuming, without doing any thorough research, it was a feast day. But the Bible said was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? I'm talking about the simplicity of living right. Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, which would be Isaiah chapter 53, verses 7 and 8. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Is the prophet Isaiah speaking of himself, or is he speaking of someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus, not Yahweh, but Jesus. I'm talking about the simplicity of living right. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. How simple is that? The eunuch, with great authority, controlling the treasure of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he, the Ethiopian eunuch, commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. What an awesome, beautiful story about a man who knows nothing about Jesus Christ, but comes to the saving grace and the knowledge of Christ through the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. Philip did not inundate this man with legalism. This is why people grapple, people struggle. When it comes to living right, no man is righteous, no man is perfect. We are all flawed to some capacity, whether we want to admit that or not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then we have the Pharisees. Then we have the Sadducees. Then we have the bigots who inundate and load us down with legalism. Then we fall under the spirit and guilt of condemnation. Not conviction, but condemnation. And we say, I keep failing. I can't live this. So I'll just quit. Now, my grandparents who raised me were godly, godly people. I don't know of any two more godly people than my grandparents. And I say that comparing them to ministers and ministries. Godly people. Holiness people. My grandmother never cut her hair after she was 12 years of age. They were not legalists. They were not law keepers, but they were holiness people. They believed in living right, and they were the most simple people you would ever meet in your life. My granddad was born in 1900. My grandmother was born in 1905. They were Depression-era people. But, oh, they loved God. And I today am where I am because of their godliness. And God knew when my mother and my father divorced and separated and sent me to my grandmother's house, God knew what he was doing. He put me in a place of love, a place of comfort, a place that would be very judicious with my soul and with my teaching. God knows where to put us in the time of trouble. And they poured so much into this little boy. It was in their home, sleeping in their bed, that God called me to be a preacher. But they failed in one area that I never was able to fully grasp until I became a man. And that was this. We all miss the mark. We all sin. We all stumble. We all err at one time or another. I'm not talking about living a life of sin. That's wrong. To live a life of sin habitually is wrong. But we all have the propensity, we all have the proclivity to err, to make a poor judgment, and we get snared by the devil in hell. But God commends his love toward us, even in our fallen state of humanity. You see, serving Christ is truly simple. But there are those out there in this world who put so many do's and so many don'ts and so much legalism and so much rhetoric and jargon. They inundate the people. Jesus Jesus understood how difficult religious people would make in serving him for the other people. There's a whole chapter, chapter 23 of Matthew, is about the Pharisees, the scribes, the bigots, how they attack the people of God, and they make serving Christ difficult. Matthew 23, verse 4. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them upon men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. They'll tell you this and this and thus and thus and that, but they themselves would not try to move it with one of their fingers. Jesus goes on. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye that them are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. My God, how corrupt is that? you Pharisees, you hypocrites. You can pass land and sea to make one proselyte. You proselytize people, and you want them to adhere to your tenets, your dogmas, your doctrine, which is false doctrine. Your truth is not truth. It is a lie, sir. You proselyte. When you convert that one to your theology, to your thinking, you make him the one that's converted, the one that's now been proselytized. You make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. How corrupt is that? Unbelievable. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone. Judgment, mercy, and faith. You've omitted those things. Ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. He's talking about the inner man. The inner man, what nobody sees but God. Woe unto you hypocrites, scribes and Pharisees, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. You're hypocrites. You say and you do, but you don't live it. You don't live it. Jesus was trying to make serving him as simple as it could be. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Can I say something here? If I love the Lord our God, with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind, and I love my neighbor as myself, I have fulfilled all in the law. Because on these two, not ten, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You see, Jesus said, you proselyte, you proselytize, you're a Pharisee, you're a hypocrite, ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. You shut the kingdom of heaven up against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. I don't want to ever be one that hindered people from entering into the kingdom of God, because I preached such an arduous, difficult message in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. This thing is not rocket science. While the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch that had great authority over the treasury of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia, He was reading the Old Testament scriptures. But the Holy Ghost has convicted him. Has convicted him. And the Spirit was working in all of this. Because the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither and got up in the chariot with the man, sat with him, and began to tell him about this lamb that was slain, dumb before his shearers. He began to tell him who it was, and preached unto him Jesus of Nazareth. I want you to understand something today. God is not a legalist, and God is not a hard taskmaster. It's one thing to have Holy Ghost conviction. It's another to have condemnation. I had someone years ago, because I did not and I do not keep the Sabbath, said to me, to my face, I cannot fully accept you yet because you do not keep the Sabbath. I thought, you bigot, you. You self-righteous bigot. Jesus has received me. Jesus has accepted me. But you want to become a Judaizer and convert me to Judaism and keep the law. And the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ said, we gave no such commandment. We gave no such commandment. They're preaching another gospel. Oh, well, that'll make them mad today. Acts 15:24. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, subverting your soul. That's what you're doing. You're subverting souls. Saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. You see, Satan knew he couldn't stop the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He understood, I cannot stop this because it has the endorsement of the Holy Ghost and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I can't stop this. Hebrews 2:14, that through death he destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Colossians 2:15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moons or of the Sabbath days. Satan said, I cannot stop this august, powerful entity called the church. So I will get in the church and corrupt it with false doctrine. That's what I will do. I will corrupt it with false doctrine. I will try to get them to go back to the Mosaic law and nullify what Jesus Christ did on the cross. That's what the devil wants. He wants to convolute the message of Christ and make people confused. Say, I just don't know what to do. I just don't know what to believe. I'm preaching the word of the Lord to you, my friend. The simplicity of living right. He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. What did Christ do? Colossians 2:11, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. He's talking about the circumcision of the heart and of the spirit. That not of the flesh. No. This is why people don't get it. Romans 2, 26. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, man is born uncircumcised, if it fulfill the law, judge thee? Who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. It's amazing, isn't it? The simplicity. The simplicity. Men want to convolute, they want to twist. They want to espouse and belch out and pontificate false doctrine. Jesus didn't make it this hard, folks. Men make it arduous. Men make it difficult. Men condemn because men are bigots and men are self-righteous. The simplicity in living right. You see, when you really fall in love with Jesus, it's not difficult in serving him. And when you fall in love with him, you're not in love with do's and don'ts. You're in love with what he did at the cross in redeeming us, because he paid the price. That's why it's called redemption. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. In whom we have redemption through his blood. I want you to hear that. Redemption through his blood. Redemption through his blood. Nothing else. Why do you think the Holy Ghost led the eunuch into reading Isaiah 53, where Jesus' blood was shed like a lamb being slaughtered? Why? He's trying to show the Ethiopian it's by the blood of Jesus Christ that men are redeemed. In whom we have redemption through his blood. the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. My, my, my. How powerful is that? How powerful is this simple message today? Oh, we got those out there who have a litany of do's and don'ts. He said, you just love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. You love your neighbor as yourself. You have fulfilled the entirety of the law. I'm not going to let anybody browbeat me with legalism, and neither should you let anybody beat you with legalism. You see, there were just some things the law could not do. How do we know that? Because we have the Holy Scriptures. Romans 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. He didn't condemn the man, he condemned the sin. He told the woman caught in adultery, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. The devil is the one who brings guilt and condemnation. The Holy Ghost brings conviction and revelation that what we're doing is wrong. The simplicity of living right. This eunuch didn't know anything, but he became a child of God because Philip preached Jesus unto him. I want to say something before I close today. The way is straight, the way is narrow, and few there be that find it. But when you fall in love with Christ, and you love him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, it makes the journey, the pilgrimage, a whole lot easier. As a matter of fact, those who really love Christ in that fashion and manner, they never contemplate quitting, giving up, going back. Oh, the devil may shoot a fiery dart from hell, and that thought may pervade or permeate their mind for just a moment, but they quickly say, get behind me, Satan, in Jesus' name. I've come too far by faith. I've come too far by faith. I'm not going to let you do me like that. No, sir. And admittedly, we all have stumbled and erred in judgment. We all have sinned at one time or another. You know why? Because I don't believe in sinless perfection in the flesh. I know my flesh has not yet been redeemed. I had a root canal yesterday. My body's deteriorating on me every day. Boy, is my jaw sore today, too. But I'm a big boy. None of these things move me. You see, I'm not here to make the journey hard on you. I'm here to encourage, to strengthen your hand, and to edify you. No, and I'm not going to preach a sloppy, greasy grace where you can live like hell and still inherit the kingdom of heaven. That's not right either. There's a balanced dietary program in the Word of the Lord for the people of God. You see, when you have the Holy Spirit and you have the Word of God, you recognize error quickly on both sides. The legalist, those who have the playboy theology mentality, you see it on both sides. We're to walk in the path of righteousness, not get to the left or right of that path, but we're to walk in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. It's amazing how paths are cut out. My cows, they have a path. They travel it from the field to the barn. My dogs, I have to put stakes in the yard because they'll want to wear a path walking, following me to a certain place here to the radio studio. And they begin to wear a path in the yard, so I have to put stakes in the yard to make them go around and quit walking in the same path. When you walk in that path, there's a wearing there. It's the good kind of wearing in Christ. Neither deviating to the left or to the right, but being balanced and mature in our walk with God. You see, not everything is a sin. It can be a mere weight. And if that weight is bothering you, then stop it. I'm not your judge, but if your conscience is bothering you relative to a particular circumstance or situation or a particular issue, if your conscience is bothering you, then don't do it. Whatever that might be. Thus we lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Not everything is a sin, but a weight can still hinder, impede, encroach your life. The simplicity of living right, and how so many men make it difficult. Jesus hated, maybe that's a poor choice of words, hated the Pharisees, but he had contempt for their bigotry. He called them hypocrites, Pharisees, scribes. You're shutting out people who are trying to get into the kingdom of heaven by your rhetorical jargon. Philip jumped up in the chariot, the carriage, and said, "Sir, that's Jesus of Nazareth. Believe, you'll be saved." He said, "I believe," because he was a believer. He got water baptized. It wasn't the water that saved him. He was already saved. He got water baptized because he was saved. Have a great week. God bless you. I'll see you Monday in the Lord. Persevere, my friend. Persevere. Be determined. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You can live this life for Jesus Christ.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism, P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006. That's P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006.